Open your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Begin reading at verse 24. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Look back at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, we recognize today that you are a great God, and that, Lord, you've been great in mercy and love to bring us the salvation and the word of God to our lives. Lord, we thank you for the changes you brought to us, and we thank you for the future that you've given. We thank you for salvation, and we thank you for your blessed presence. We thank you that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and that we have the Word of God available to us in our hands. And I pray, Father, you would take us as your children today, and you'd touch our lives, you'd draw us closer to you. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I walk through this life, as I look at television, as I read books and magazines and newspapers, as I talk to people along the way, you know what most people are looking for? What they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to put on. And if you say put on, might be a Mercedes or a Cadillac you're putting on. See. Might be an airplane you're strapping yourself onto or whatever. Whatever you're going to put on. Might be that house you put on. But all of these things sort of fit into that category. I don't want to fall here on you. I almost did that time. Maybe I better not walk too far, huh? All of these things fit into what the Gentiles seek. What the world seeks, what the nations seek, what you seek. It's amazing how much our life is occupied with what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink and what I'm going to put on. We need these things. We really do. We need something to eat. And of course, we live in a day that really, really is beyond description. We don't pray for our daily needs. We pray for our monthly needs. I mean, we pay the bills by the month. I mean, we pay the credit by the month. We pay the electricity by the month, the rent by the month, and some of you go to the grocery store once or twice a month. I mean, you know, we're not really looking. I mean, we look down at home and we don't look in our cabinets and see just enough for one day. Lord, give us this day what we need for this day. And yet, we give us this month what we need for this month, Lord, is almost the way we pray. We live in a very rich generation and tremendous opportunities. And even for the worst of us and the poorest of us, we are awfully, wonderfully, amazingly blessed. But you know, he said, no man can serve two masters. It doesn't mean you can't do two things. It doesn't mean you can't do 15 things. It doesn't mean you can't have more than one obligation, but you can't serve more than two masters. And I think that's the key to the whole thing. It's who's your master? Who are you serving? Who's the boss when it comes down to the bottom line? What are your priorities? What comes number one? Well, I know what comes number one to an awful lot of people. It's their job. Their job's so important and success in their job is so important that sometimes the family just gets destroyed because the job's too important. Sometimes it's the family that's so important. And the family's so important that you can't serve God and you can't do anything else because of what you think your obligations for your family are. Sometimes it's the children. The love of your children or your aspirations for your children or the grades you want your children to make or whatever. That's so important why you can't really serve God. You couldn't preach the gospel. You couldn't go on a mission field. You can't even go to church regularly. Because you're afraid your kids might not be in bed at 8 o'clock and have all their homework done and be to everything that's supposed to be done. Other people have various things that are more important to them. What is important to you? Do you ever sort of put a priority out and check it out? Where are my priorities? What is important to me? What am I living for? What's really important? And when he comes down the line, after I've lived 50 years living for this thing that I'm living for, is it really worth it? Well, Jesus is talking about that in this passage. It's a tremendous passage, and I really want to deal with one part of it. In verse 25, he said, "Take therefore no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on." Don't let that be your worry. And I'm afraid some of us go to bed at night worrying about these things right here, rather than what's really important. I don't have the clothes I want. I know young people going to school. Teenage years are very, very difficult years. The years you're growing up and the years that you think what other people think of you is so important. And at school, they make fun of you, or you can't get with a certain group if you don't dress with the right kind of clothes, or you don't say the right words, or don't go to the right places. And some of these things put a great deal of pressure on people, but you know, it's not all that important. Most of the people you know in school, you won't even know after you get out of school. Go back to a 20-year reunion, you won't even recognize half of them that are there. And all those that look so pretty, they man, it looks so pretty within. And those that you thought were going to be the most successful, they're the bums. And that C student, he's a millionaire. You can't pick it out, I guarantee you. You don't know one way or the other. Or you might have dropped out of school in the 7th grade and ended up being a rich man. Who knows? You don't know what's going to happen. But I tell you what, looking for what you can get is not what you ought to be living life all about. That's not the most important thing. And so Jesus comes down here and he says in verse 31 again, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles think." He's talking to Jews. Remember, Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is still a Jew under the law. The law hasn't been paid for. The law hasn't been completed until Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary and dies upon the cross of Calvary. When Jesus died, His New Testament, His new will went into effect. And on the death of Jesus Christ, He could tell that old boy that was hanging on the cross by Him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And when Jesus died, all of a sudden the New Testament came into effect. And that was the first one that died after Jesus had got in on it. What a blessing. He said, don't worry about these things. But look what He says to worry about. Look at verse 33. And I'd like to look at this in sort of a positive way as to what you have if you do this. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." First thing. What did Jesus say you ought to be looking for first? A good job, a good career, a fine house, a good wife, great kids, great future, nice retirement, IRAs, plenty of money in the bank. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And you know what He says? "And all these things shall be added unto you." You know what He's been talking about? Everything He's got in this chapter. Plenty to eat, clothes on your back, place to live. All you need, everything you're worrying about, if you had a little faith to put Jesus first, He'd take care of those other things. That's what He says. You got to get your priorities right, or you're not going to make a good servant of God. You're not going to have a right spiritual aspect, and you're not going to be blessed by God as you could be blessed by God if you don't get your priorities right and put first things first. And the first thing is God, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness. Number one. I want you to know it's more important to be right with God than it is to be right with your boss. It's more important to be right with God than it is to be politically correct. It's more important to be right with God than to be accepted by everybody at work. It's more important to be right by God than to have people approval. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're in revival in America. We're too much on how much we can get and what we can have and what we can do and what are our pleasures and not what God's will is. And this country is headed downhill like it's on a toboggan slide. We're in deep trouble. And you know, we can't blame the whorehouses, and we can't even blame the politicians. We better blame the church. Blame the preachers. Blame the Christians, because they're not putting God first where He ought to be. You need to examine yourself and put some things in line and see. I'll tell you what, we do a great work here as missions is concerned. Comparing this church on a percentage basis with the number of people that come here and the work that's done for missions, it staggers me. But if everyone in this room was a tither, just a tither. See, the reason why we do that, because we have a few people that give much more than a tithe. I've got missionaries that give above 20% of their income before they touch it, before they live. They give over 20% of their income away before they live and buy tracts and go out on the streets and use their gas to preach the gospel. I know, because I distribute it for them every month. They leave me instructions. This is what I want done. If just the Christians that go to this church tithe, gave 10% of what they made to the work of the Lord, first before they did anything else. And I'm telling what we could do. And I'm telling what we could do. But you know what? You say, well, I can't do it. No. I guarantee you, if you pay all your bills and do all your entertainment and do everything else and at the end of the month give God what's left, you can't tithe. You can't do it. It's impossible. I first got saved and I went to a Southern Baptist church in Roswell, New Mexico. Boy, it was a hot church, man. They were preaching and people were getting saved and had a good pastor. So I get saved and join the church and he said, well, we need to start you tithing. I said, tithing? What are you talking about? I know what a tithe was. He said, well, you need to take your income and give 10% of it to the Lord. Okay? Whatever he told me to do, I'd have done. So I made $196.30 a month. I had a wife and one kid and one on the way. $196.30 a month. So I just took a $20 bill. Didn't even have a checking account. I took a $20 bill and dropped it into the offering plate. That was my tithe. Every month, for 6 months to a year, I had taken a one-button roll. Now, you older fellows will know what that is, a one-button roll suit. They don't have them around anymore, I don't think, but it was the cat's meow in our day, you know. Peg pants, you know. Peg leg pants and a one button roll suit. Woo! Pink shirt and a white tie. Woo! Well, I'll tell you how much the hawk shop would give me on that suit. They'd give me $10. Every month at the end of the month, I'd go back and pay them $12 or $12.50. I forget what it was. As soon as I got my check from the Army, Air Force, I'd go down to that hawk shop and I'd give them $12 or $12.50. I've forgotten exactly what the percentage was. Get my suit back out. But the only time I used that suit was taking the hawk shopping back. And you know what? I gave that $20 into the offering and I've never given less than a tithe from that day since. And I've never had to go to hawk shop from that day to since at the end of the month. You know what? I had money left in my pocket. Maybe one reason is because we started going to church for everything they did, man. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, at a ladies' meeting, I was there. At an old folks' meeting, I was there. I'm telling you, I got a hold of something good when I got saved, and I wanted all I could get of it. I would learn everything I could learn, whatever the hell I was there. Man, I preached on the streets. I preached in jails. I carried the Sunday school lesson to old folks that were homebound. I'd go around during the week and teach the Sunday school lesson to them in their home. I was busy. I didn't have time to spend any money. Amen. I'm just telling you that over the years I've learned, the more I give to God, the better blessed I am. Just financially. I'm talking about financially. The more I give to God, the better blessed I am. But even if I won't, you still ought to put God first. And don't give me this, what I want to give to God at the end of the month when the time... No, you will never get it. There's always more month than money. I don't care how much money you make. God is supposed to get the first things. He's supposed to get the first fruits, not the leavings. I see these churches and they'll have a garage sale at the church. They call it a different name, but same thing. We're going to give our leftovers to God. Give our leftovers to missions. Won't you give the first you got to God and the first you got to missions and give your leftovers to Grandma? Sorry, Grandma. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying God ought to be number one. God ought to be first. He shouldn't be third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or 20th in your life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let me tell you something else. A lot of you got a lot of pride. There's some people sitting in this room right now that are headed for hell. You are going to split hell wide open. I don't care if you're religious and a church member, because you've never been saved. You've never sought God first. You know something? If you're going to let anything stand between you and getting saved, you'll never get saved. Until you come to the place, the most important thing in your life, the number one thing you want, I have to have my sins forgiven, I must be saved, and you seek God with that, you'll never get saved. You can sit out there all you want to and say, yeah, I believe, yeah, I'm better than about half, yeah, this, that, and the other, and give yourself every argument in the world. But until you put God first, His kingdom first, His righteousness first, number one, I want God. I want His salvation. I want His forgiveness. You'll walk right through this life and drop out into a casket, and they'll put you down on the ground, and somebody will say nice words over you, but you'll wake up in hell. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, I talk to people continually that tell me about their righteousness. Well, I'm not that bad, or I really don't need this, or somebody else needs it, and who are you talking to me when you're talking about, you need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without that righteousness, you're not good enough to make it into heaven. Without His righteousness, God won't even talk to you. He won't let you in the door. You're not even going to get to the place where you'd have an opportunity. Without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you ought to seek that first. Talking about salvation. And then let's talk about Christians. When you have sought God, then you need to put God first in your life. His kingdom and His righteousness ought to be the number one thing in your life. And if we did that, we'd have a revival in the church. Not just on money. We'd have a revival of people's attitude. We'd have a revival of help to people. We'd have a revival of prayer. We'd have a revival of witnessing. We'd have a revival of good spirits and good hospitality. We'd have a better marriage. We'd have better children. The whole thing would be changed if you just put God first and His righteousness first. And you know what He said? This is a promise of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things. What is it you're looking for? All these things. What is it you think you need? All these things shall be added unto you. But you have to trust God to do that. You got to trust God. The longer I live, the more I'm sure I can trust God. The longer I live. And the more I've trusted Him, the more I trust Him. The more I read this book, the more I know about God, the more experience I have with God, the more I know I can trust Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me show you a couple of other things. Turn, if you will, to me, 1 Corinthians, with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. What does the man who has God, the kingdom of God, and the righteousness of God have? I tell you, there are some blessings in Christianity. I remember, I think every once in a while, back when I was younger, in my 40s or so, I used to wonder why God gave such beautiful little creatures as little babies to people so young. Now that I've gotten as old as I am, I'm sure glad He didn't give them to me. I don't have enough energy to chase them around. He gave them to you young mothers and fathers because you got the energy to chase them down. You can stay up with them. I can't stay up with them anymore. I'll guarantee you, I'm glad my name's not Mike Jackson. Nope, sorry about that. Woo! Somebody send them this tape. No, I'm teasing. Think what God has given to you. Think what God has given to you. Young people, He's given you wisdom. Look what He says here. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I didn't have enough sense to know how to raise kids. I didn't have enough sense to know how to build a good marriage. I sure didn't have enough sense to know how to build a good church. But you know what? Christ was my wisdom. And you know what it made me? It made me smarter than my teachers. It made me smarter than the leaders. It made me smarter than the governments of the world. When Christ is your wisdom, then my friend, it's not dependent on your 20-year-old brain or your 20-year-old experience. It's dependent upon the wisdom of the ages. And if you'll trust God, He'll teach you how to raise your children. He'll teach you how to live your life. He'll teach you how to build your marriage. And He'll teach you how to build a church. He's our wisdom. And He became my wisdom. The wisdom of God became my wisdom even though I was a young man that didn't have enough sense to get it out of the rain. God became my wisdom the day I put Him first in my life. And so many times when I'm praying and looking and thinking and trying to go and get the leadership of God how to go, and I look back on it. Hindsight's sure good. That Monday night quarterbacking is something else. It's 100%. When you live with God being your wisdom, though you're ignorant, you can be it, but I don't know what the Bible says. I don't know what the Bible says. I'm going to trust God with what He gives me. You seek the Lord with the wisdom that He has. You look back over your life and think, I could not have ordered it better. I couldn't have made it better. If I'd have got what I wanted, He couldn't have been better. He's my wisdom. And I'll tell you something else. He's righteousness. He is my righteousness. I can remember trying to make myself righteous. I can remember taking certain things in my life and I'm going to change them. And I did change some things. I had a strong willpower. And I worked that strong. All my life I had a strong willpower. It's getting weaker and weaker as I get older and older. But I had a strong willpower. And I quit some things. And I changed some things. And I moved some things. And I'm thankful for those things. But you know what? No matter how strong your willpower, it's not strong enough to change it all. And you're going to come up and you're going to fail. And you're going to sense that failure. And you're going to know that weakness. And you're going to know that failure. And I'm glad I'm not resting in my righteousness. I'm thankful when I go to God to pray, I'm not praying in the righteousness of Lindell, I'm praying in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, when I sought God, and I got His righteousness, He credited to my account the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, my weak, piddling, stupid, stubborn, selfish, foolish self, am dressed in the righteousness of the perfect Son of God. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, I don't know about you, but I go to sleep at night secure. I go to sleep at night in peace Because I'm not dressed up in the goodness I've done. I don't care if I won 5 souls a day, or helped a few people, or put a marriage back together, or counseled somebody that just lost someone, or whatever I might have done. I might have helped a little old lady across the street. I might have fed a bird along the way. Righteousness. Oh, I'm glad my righteousness is what Jesus Christ had and made, and it's in perfect shape. It doesn't have a flaw. There's not any part to it that doesn't work. I'm dressed in His righteousness. He's made unto me. Jesus Christ is made unto me righteousness. You know what He said up there? Sanctification. You know, there are two different kinds of sanctification. This one right here He's talking about is a perfect setting apart, a perfect making you so special by God that you belong directly to God, totally to God, wholly to God. And that's what Jesus did for me. And that's what He did for you when He saved your soul. When you, in your ignorance and in your sin, in your weakness, in your failure, you said, God, I want You number one. I want Your salvation. I want Your righteousness. God said, I'll do it. And He made Jesus your righteousness. He made Him your wisdom. And He made Him your sanctification. Jesus is set apart. He is the unique Son of God. He is absolutely holy. He belongs totally to God. And you do too. You belong to God. Now there's another side to your sanctification, and that is where you used to cuss and drink and swear, and you gradually work yourself out of some of these things and some other things down the line. And that's good. That doesn't get you to heaven, doesn't send you to hell. The righteousness of Christ. If you got it, you go to heaven. The righteousness of Christ. If you don't have it, you go to hell. Smoking won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. But it won't send you there. And redemption. Christ has made my redemption. I don't have to buy my way out. I've not been left with a great debt to God. It was all paid. I have been redeemed. We sing it around here once. I think about number 475, something like that. I have been redeemed. I want you to know the great debts that I owe, they've all been paid. They've all been wiped out, and they were wiped out in Jesus Christ. How about that? You ought to seek God. You ought to seek His kingdom. You ought to seek His righteousness, and it ought to be the first, number one thing in your priority, all the time, no matter when or where. Well, let me show you another verse. Look back at Psalm 84, 11. Psalm 84 is just a blessed psalm all the way through, but I don't have time to go into it. But you look, if you will, at verse 11. It's a tremendous verse there. A few times in my life when I was raising 5 kids and had a lot of needs and always had more troubles than I had money to take care of them, always had to make do with baling wire and spit and bubble gum, try to patch things and keep them going. And you know, sometimes you get to feel a little sorry for yourself and you think God hasn't answered your prayer. And you don't have exactly what you want. And man, you need an overhaul, but you just got to add. No good thing will He withhold. Some of you right now don't have enough faith to believe this. Some of you are married and you want children so bad, but you can't have children. Do you know something? God could give you children, any one of you. Some of you aren't married and you sure wish you had a husband. And oh, you prayed for husband, husband hadn't come along. Some of you aren't married and you sure wish you had a wife. You've asked 2 or 3 and they haven't exactly accepted her. Maybe you haven't found one you like yet. Some of you are in a position where you are miserable at your job. Your job doesn't look right to you. It's a chore every day. You got burden. Man, you wanted that promotion, but you didn't get that promotion. You wanted that new car, but you didn't get that car. Have you got enough faith to take a word of God? He said, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright. If you don't have it, it wouldn't be good for you. Oh, I know you don't like me saying that. That may be the hardest thing I've preached this year. You know what you ought to accept? If you don't have it, you don't need it. You know what you ought to be able to trust God for? Maybe, just maybe, where you are is where God wants you. And if you don't have the health that you want, if you don't have the job that you want, if you don't have the friend that you want, if you don't have the mate that you want, or whatever it is, trust God. If you prayed for it, you're walking with the Lord, and you don't have it, it wouldn't be good for you. The day it becomes good for you, don't you think God could trot that thing right through the door? Oh yeah, you singles, He could trot that one right through the door for you, male or female. He didn't have a problem. And by the way, don't feel too sorry for the singles. A lot of the marriage are in real trouble. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's not hard to get married. Look at all the people that are married. You don't have to be beautiful to be married. Look at all the ugly people married. You don't have to be rich to be married. Look at all the poor people that are married. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Maybe, just maybe, you might be really blessed and good because you don't have what you think you really want. I've lived long enough to look back over my life, and I have thanked God as I look back for not answering certain prayers in my life. There's some things I wanted, there's some things I prayed for, there's some things I sacrificed for, and I didn't get them. And a few times I got mad at God about it. Lord, I don't see why you're doing me this way. But you know what this verse says? No good thing will he withhold from you. Maybe you think it's good, but God's got a little wisdom and he knows it's not so good. And there's an awful lot of people who've married a Prince Charming that turns into a frog inside of a month or two's time. And you gotta kiss a lot of frogs to meet a handsome prince. You understand? I'm sorry about that. I'm wild some of those days. But I'm having fun. I hope you are. I believe God. And you put God first, he'll put into your life just exactly what you need. He'll bless your life. He'll bring you around. He's been walking with his hand on you all the way. Trust him. Put him first. Trust him. Oh, look at another verse with me. Time's running out. But look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what do you get? You get God on your side. Who do you want on your side? We're going to pick teams today. I want God. You guys have all of us. Take the pick on the rest of them. Give me God on my team. We're going to win. I guarantee you we're going to win. Just get God on our team. And he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, if I seek God first. Let me tell you what. I'm partial to my children. Greatest blessing of this life God has given me. Give me five wonderful children. I love them. Oh, they're not perfect by a long shot. It'd be nice if they'd be perfect like I am. But they didn't attain to that great position. But they're great children. I love them. And you know something? I'm always for them. There is never a day goes by I'm down against them. Never. Even if I have to rebuke them, even if I think they've done wrong, even if I think they've made a mistake, there's never a day I'm on the other side from them. I'm on their side. I love them. They're my children. And I'm just a sorry, weak, sinful, selfish father. But my Heavenly Father, who is all life, who is perfect love, who can do anything he decides to do. At any moment, he can step in and intervene and completely change the course of history or the course of your history. And you know what? If God be for you, who cares who's against you? If you're right with God, it doesn't matter if you have to stand against the whole world. If you're right with God, you got God first. God's on your side. Man alive, look at where you are. You're in the most blessed position any man could walk this earth in. I want to walk it with him through high school. I want to walk it with him through marriage. I want to walk it with him through raising children. And I want to walk right down to the death throes with God. God before us. I want you to know you ought to put God first in every area of your life. That's the most blessed you could possibly ever be, is that God would be number one in your priorities, no matter what. Look, if you will, at another verse of scripture, in John chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus has fed 5,000 men besides women and children out of five loaves and two fishes a little lunch a boy had. These weren't these great big loaves. These were like little Mexican bread. What? John chapter 6 and verse 27. He's fed 5,000 and boy, they say, we won't make you king. Good night. We need a king like this. All we do is show up and pick up our meals. Don't have to go in the field. We don't have to do anything like that. So Jesus is talking to him, and he said in verse 26, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew how selfish we are. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. You ever built a lot of stuff up and stacked it up and it spoiled on you? Mm-hmm. You ever worked in a garden and worked it for weeks, pulling weeds and watering and going and have a hailstorm come down and just level everything? You ever put something in the refrigerator and thought it was going to last and you took it out and you couldn't eat it? You ever had somebody, a kid, leave the door of your freezer open? That ever happened to you? Do you know what? All that meat you put in the freezer and all those vegetables you put up and you got them all down there, you know what happened to them? They spoil. They ruin. They waste. And everything you've got today, everything, your house, your car, don't tell me you're investing in automobiles. Please don't tell me you're investing in automobiles unless you're investing in selling them. That thing's going down. I don't care if it's a Cadillac or a Mercedes. I don't care if it's a Jaguar. I don't care if it's a Lamborghini. You can buy one for me to go visiting. Well, that's fine.
I'll drive it. I won't be ashamed. I'll just drive up there and put the gas in that sucker and drive it. I'll do it. But you know what it's going to do the day you bought it? It's going to deteriorate. It's going to go down. Your house is going down, and your cars are going down, and your old body's going down. Don't hang on to it too much. You better not labor for meat that perishes. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us all along. He's saying, look, you're looking for bread. You're looking for an easy way to make bread. You're looking for a fine house. You're looking for clothes. You're looking for all these things. He said, don't put your labor out on meat which perishes. Labor for meat that lasts into eternal life. You can do it. Depends on where your investments are. Oh, I'm not telling you to be foolish in your investments in this life. Make all the money you can make. Save all the money you can save. So you can give all the money you can give to the Lord. But you need to invest some beyond your death. Now don't tell me I'm going to give it all away to some charity or to the church when I die. It doesn't do you one bit of good to do that. Only what you give when you live. That's not just taking your inheritance away from your kids and giving it to the Lord. That's not going to be, God's going to say, oh, you're a real great dad. Yeah, sons, I got down here on my deathbed and I've lived pretty good all of my life, but you ain't getting nothing. I'm going to give it all to the Lord. I'm going to be real spiritual. When I die, He can have it all. When you die, He's got it all anyway. You ever figured that out? You better give while you got it. You better give while you live, and you better invest in something in the future that can't rust. No thief can steal. Well, I got some valuable things that a thief could be taking right now. Oh, some of you may be robbed when you get home. Hope that lift your spirits right now. Make you feel a little better. Let me tell you something. Anything you got that somebody can steal or it can rust is not valuable. I know you think it's valuable. You pull out these little coins or you pull out something else. I had a boy of mine that had a coin collection and he got me into thinking about coins and I bought this silver and a thief came in my house and stole my silver. And he probably went down and put it in coke machines, you know, as far as I know. All this is supposed to be worth much more money than what it was. Don't labor for the meat that perishes. What I want you to labor for? Labor for something that'll last into eternity. I want you to invest. You know what you're going to be? You're going to be here 70 odd years. That's the average. 70, 72 years. 3 score and 10. Let me tell you what. You might make it to 80 or 85 or 90 or 95, but if you do, it's just a little infinitesimal second added on to your existence in this life. But you're going to live with God 10,000 years, 1 million years, 100 million years. It is uncountable. It is infinite. That's how long you're going to be there. You ought to put God first. If you don't put God first, you've made a great mistake. If you're a lost person here today and you haven't put God first and accepted Him as your Savior, today make a decision and trust Christ as your Savior. Call upon Him and ask Him to forgive you and save you. Take His righteousness as your own. If you're a Christian here today and anything else has gotten in your way, then you're not happy. You can't be happy if God's not number one in your life. You will not be. There's going to be some agging. There's going to be some burden. The Spirit of God that dwells within you as a saved person is not going to let you rest. You need to repent of your sins and call on God and change your priorities around. Brother Steve said, you can do some good. Yes, you can. You can make some changes. You can change the way you live. You can change what you put first. You can change how you act. You can change what comes out of your mouth. You can change what goes into your eyes and goes into your ears. You can change a whole lot of things. You need to put God first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto. My Christian friend, rearrange your priorities. My dear lost friend, take Jesus as your Savior today.